The difference between the letter Beis and the letter Chaf is very, very tiny. It's only a bit of ink that extends the bottom of the Chaf and turns it into a Beis. But the difference in terms of its meaning can be huge. And we see that in this week's Parsha, where right after Revi, Moshe, quoting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or seemingly quoting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Paro, says as follows. The pasuk says, Yom HaMoshe, Moshe says, Korom Hashem, so says Hashem, Kachatos HaLayla, and Yotze B'soch Mitzrayim. Kachatos HaLayla, at around midnight, I am going to go forth to Mitzrayim and kill every single Bechor, every single Egyptian firstborn. And Rashi talks about this Kachatos. Does not say Bachatos at midnight, but Kachatos around midnight. And according to Chazal, he says, Sha'amar Moshe Kachatos, that Moshe said Kachatos, Shemashma Samachlo, Olafanav Olachra, which means close to midnight, a bit before or mid after, Velo Amar Bachatos, and he did not say Bachatos at midnight, because he was concerned. Shemayitu at Istagnine Paro, perhaps the astrologers of Paro will make a mistake, they'll be a little bit off in calculating when Chatos is. And according to their calculations, Makas Bechoros won't happen exactly at midnight, but a bit before, a bit after. The Yomer, and they'll say Moshe Badoyu, that Moshe is a fake. Moshe is a fraud. Now, really, this is very difficult to understand. Would they really make such a mistake? Would they really claim that? Let's think about this. Moshe comes and tells Paro, at the stroke of midnight, every single Egyptian firstborn is going to die. So what do the Estagnini Paro do? What do the astrologers do? They immediately go to, let's say, MyZmana.com to find out exactly when Chatzos is. They find out exactly what Chatzos is to the nanosecond. They set their atomic clocks and their alarms to make sure that the alarm rings at exactly Chatzos. And exactly at Chatzos, according to their calculations, nothing happens. And a split second later, suddenly every single Bechor, every single firstborn in Mitzrayim is dead. This is after 9 makos. It happened at precision and in a precise way, exactly what Moshe said it would happen, and ended exactly what Moshe said it would end. And here, like I said, a fraction of a second after Rippur Chatzos, every Mitzri firstborn is dead, and they're going to say that's it, the whole deal is off, and accept nothing because of that. This would be a reason to reject everything, and would it be much more reasonable for them to accept the fact that maybe their calculations were a bit off, and in fact Moshe's were right, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was right? The fact is, though, and this is one answer, is that that's just the way it is. That's the way it is. When people dig in and people are stuck in a certain way and they don't want to accept the truth that all of the evidence would indicate, because it will force them to rethink their lives and it will force them to accept things, accept that everything they've been doing until now is wrong, then they'll dig in and on the flimsiest excuse, for the most ridiculous reason, they're going to say, no, this whole thing is a fraud and this whole thing is wrong. Unless we think that this is something that's so far-fetched and we can't imagine it happening, it's really something that happens all the time. It's happening in our present day and age as well. When you have people who discover the great, great secrets of science, whether the biologists, the microbiologists, or physicists, or cosmologists who see the heavens and see the cosmos and see the amazing, amazing universe that Hashem created, the macro level, such an amazing universe that the evidence is overwhelming that there's someone who has designed this beautiful world and this beautiful complex world and makes sure that everything in this universe works in such an elegant and beautiful way. And yet they choose to reject it and to perhaps to stick to some form of atheism or something of that nature. Why? Because they just don't want to accept the evidence. And therefore, on blind faith, they'll say, well, one day science will figure this out. And yes, we can just say that somehow it happened all on its own, or just happened through an evolutionary process, and nature did this, and nature did that, and nature has this amazing, amazing, amazing ability to create such a beautiful world, and they can't bring themselves to accept this fact that God has created all of this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what is behind all of this, as all of the evidence would indicate. They're no different than the Sagnini Paro, who would have said, yes, 9 makos are perfect, 10 makos perfect as well, except that we're going to insist that our clocks are right and Hashem's clock is wrong, and therefore, in fact, this is not real, and to use that as an excuse and a basis to reject everything about what these makos are supposed to teach them. So that's just the way people are, and that's human nature, because accepting this new truth would require too much of them, and they just don't want to go down that road. Rabbi Navachi elaborates on this and perhaps takes a somewhat different approach, and at least the way I understood what he's saying, the process is one, and the concern that Moshe had was the following. When you had the first two makos, Adam and Tardeya, the Chatume Paro, the magicians in Mitzrayim, they were impressed with it, but they said, we can do it as well. And in essence, what they're saying is, Moshe's a pretty cool magician. He has some really neat tricks up his sleeve, but he's no better than us. We can do the same thing. When it came to the Malka of Kenan, then everything changed. The Malka of Kenan, the Malka of Lights, they said, Etzba Lakim said, they said, this is the finger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We cannot do this. Clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is behind this. And that's when the real Kiddush Hashem begins. The real Kiddush Hashem, when Mitzrayim, they begin to recognize Hashem as the all-powerful God that He is. It's the beginning of that process. And it continues, mak after mak after mak. And in essence, what they were accepting is the fact that it wasn't Moshe who had pulled off these makos, like they thought it in the first two makos, but because Baruch was the one who was behind it. And then Moshe, the Nevuah of Moshe was in Samet Yitzchum. They became convinced of the Nevuah of Moshe, that Moshe was a Navi, who was a Shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was bringing them messages from Hashem, and that Hashem is the one who's really orchestrating everything. And therefore, Moshe was concerned. Moshe was concerned that if by the 10th Makkah, they see that it's a little bit off, they see that the clock is off, according to their calculations, then they will become convinced that the original assumption was right, that Moshe is doing all this, and it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that would be Chil Hashem instead of Kiddush Hashem. Because the definition of Kiddush Hashem is when Hashem's presence becomes a reality in the world, where people become aware and are sensitized to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is in control. But if the opposite happens, and the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu recedes into the background, and it started attributing it to Moshe, then that would have defeated everything. That would have defeated the whole purpose of all of the Nisim. We take a look at the beginning of the Parsha, and where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Bo al Paro. So what's the purpose of the Makos? Hashem says, you should tell your children, grandchildren, that I made a mark of Mitzrayim, of the miracles that I did, all for what purpose? The Adatem said, you know, Keni Hashem, that I am Hashem. And it's not just Klai Yisrael that has to know that Hashem is Hashem, but the Mitzrayim also has to recognize that Hashem is Hashem. And therefore, Moshe wanted to make sure that lesson wouldn't be lost. And Moshe made the decision to say Kachatos around midnight so that Mitzrayim cannot use that claim against the proof that they were facing. So really, when we think about this, there are really three parties to this whole Kachatos, Bachatos business. There's the way the Mitzrayim would have received it. Had they heard Bachatos, they would have used that against the lesson that they're being taught, to undermine the lesson they're being taught. There's Moshe, and Moshe is the one who made this very bold decision. Because apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who said Bachatos. As a matter of fact, according to some versions of the Rashi concludes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodeh Yitzav Rogav, Hashem knows his times, and he knows every moment. Amar Bachatos, Hashem said Bachatos. So Moshe made a very bold decision that Hashem told him to say Bachatos at midnight, and he made the decision to say Kachatos around midnight. This is not listed amongst the things. The Gemara lists things that Moshe did, that he took initiative differently from, to act differently than what Hashem had instructed him to do. For example, the smashing of the Luchos was an initiative they took on his own, or the postponement of Matan Torah by one day that he did on his own. And Chazal tell us, HaKadosh Baruch afterwards was masking, HaKadosh Baruch afterwards approved of what Moshe did. But we don't find this to be on that list, but it seems to be the case nevertheless, that Hashem told Moshe to say Bachatos, and he chose to say Kachatos. And one of the things that Rantzis Yosal points out is that it's a remarkable thing that Moshe, the great tzaddik Moshe, was able to put himself in the Mitzri mindset and to think about what a Mitzri is going to say. How will an Egyptian respond to the situation where if he sees his clock is different from the clock that was predicted, from the time that it's predicted, that it was predicted it would happen Echatos, and according to his watch it happened a bit before, a bit after, instead of concluding that his watch is off, he will conclude that the whole Mako is a fake, or that Moshe is a fake. Moshe had to put himself in the mindset of Mitzri. Where did a tzaddik like Moshe come to think like a Mitzri? So, Rav Matthew Solomon, in the context of a much bigger discussion about the idea of no sibo, So we know one of the great qualities of Moshe was to be nosib ol. Nosib ol means to help carry the burden. That means to be able to empathize with another person, to be able to feel what another person is going through. He says that's only possible, and this is Moshe's great quality, one of his great qualities, that's only possible if you can really put yourself in that other person's shoes. If you put yourself in that other person's head and really be what that other person is. And therefore he says that Moshe used that very same quality to put himself into the Mitzri's head and to think like a Mitzri. If you can think like another person is going through pain and feel the pain, if you can think like another person and feel the simcha that that other person is experiencing and experience it as if it's that person, then he could also put himself in the mindset of a Mitzri and to think the way a Mitzri would think. And therefore, this is Moshe's great quality of Nosib Ol that led him to understand how the Mitzri is going to think about this and to recognize that it's important that he say Bachatos instead of Bachatos. Which leaves only one more party to talk about over here, and that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, to think about the fact that Hashem did not tell Moshe Kachatos. Why did Hashem tell Moshe Kachatos? Why did Hashem say Bachatos when Moshe, in fact, would have to say Kachatos? And it almost seems like that perhaps the answer is that Hashem wants to leave this to Moshe. There's had to be one more lesson that Moshe had to teach to Klal Yisrael, that it's not about Moshe, but it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That he, you know, if you think about it, the Mitzrim, the mistake they would have made was to think that it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's all Moshe's doing this. And Moshe would have been the one who would have killed every single Mitzrayim in their eyes, every single Mitzri firstborn. And yet, Moshe does not want that to happen. Moshe wants all the credit to go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to teach Klal Yisrael that it's all about Kiddush Hashem. It's not about me, just like Moshe is practically not mentioned in the Haggadah. It's not about me, it's not about Moshe Rabbeinu, it's all about recognizing Hashem, all about the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically said that we adapt him, Kiddush Hashem, we have to know that I am Hashem. And this is a very, very powerful lesson for Moshe that he's teaching to Klal Yisrael at this time. It's really interesting if you think about it, that every single Jewish child knows Moshe's last name. Moshe's last name, he asked the Jewish child, what was Moshe's last name? He'll say Rabbeinu. Moshe is known to us as Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe our teacher. Now really, Moshe has another role that's happening right here in Mitzrayim. And the Mitzrayim themselves, according to Rashi at the beginning of the story, review this Moshe, who was not yet born when they made the decree, the Paro made the decree to throw all the Jewish children, into the sea. The Moshe was the Moshian Shal Yisrael. Moshian Shal Yisrael means he's the savior of Klal Yisrael. Moshian Shal Yisrael. And yet, we don't find that Moshe is known as Moshe Moshienu, Moshe our savior, but he's known as Moshe Rabbeinu. Because even though Moshe played the role that he played, but the role that he played was not only to carry out HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instructions on the ground, but also to deflect all of the attention from himself and to point it right back at HaKadosh Baruch Hu so that we should recognize that Hashem is the one who took us out of Mitzrayim, not Moshe. That the Moshin Shal Yisrael is never a human being. The Moshin Shal Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we can add this point to the list of all the things that Moshe taught us. Moshe, of course, is Rabbeinu because he teaches, he gave us the Torah, he's the one who transmitted the Torah to Klal Yisrael, but he's also Moshe Rabbeinu throughout his life and throughout the process of his teaching Mitzrayim as well. He's teaching Klal Yisrael the lesson of Kiddush Hashem, and in that as well, he has every right to be called Moshe Rabbeinu.